Pod Moth. Welcome to Paranerds.
Yeah, welcome. It's been a minute. We hope you're good.
It's been a minute.
Yeah.
I'm back.
Yeah, you're back.
My name's Jessie.
And I think I'm still Erica. Yeah.
I hope so. That'd be awkward.
Oh, you mean if the demon that possessed me decided to host this week?
You'd be upset. That'd be fun. No, that sounds interesting.
Yeah, you're like, I'm tired of your boring ass. Get this demon in here.
Where's the demon at?
Next week. The demon's tired. The demon had a long day at work.
Oh, me too, demon. I understand.
Okay, cut the bullshit. What you got?
Current event. Guess what, everyone? John McAfee died in prison.
That's it?
It was an apparent suicide.
Oh.
And it happened the day after. So last we talked, we were talking about how he's in prison in Spain.
I thought it was Brazil.
Was it Brazil?
Or maybe he vacationed in Brazil. Or he met his wife in Brazil.
No, he met his wife in Florida.
Oh. I was really off. I'm sorry.
Huh. I mean, I could look it up real quick, but some United States governments were part of it, was trying to get him on the charges for his pump and dump scheme for the cryptocurrency mm-hmm. he had going on that was pretty illegal, and he was being held in the prison, wherever, until the U.S. could get their shit together and charge him. And they did. They got the shit together. They got their, an extradition to bring him back to the U.S. so they could charge him. Mm-hmm. And the next day, he was found hanging in his cell.
Are you sure it was a suicide?
It was Spain, confirmed it was in Spain that he was in jail, which he was in jail in Spain because he was trying to board a plane without a ticket, which is just the most wacko thing I've ever heard in my life. That's why he got sent to jail in Spain. Again, the whole time he was in Spain, too, in jail, he was tweeting from his jail cell. And he was very lonely, is what he was saying on Twitter, that he didn't speak Spanish and he was so sad. And I mean, I do think it was a suicide because his mental state was already messed up. And then he was just, and like we said last time, if he were found guilty in the U.S., he would have died in a U.S. prison. And in a U.S. prison, he can't have his phone. He's not even going to be able to tweet. So I do think it was a suicide.
Yeah, so you think, like, he saw the end of the line and he didn't like what it was coming to?
Yeah. It was the day after he was extradited that he died.
Okay. Well, no, I do believe that, but just, like, when I initially heard it, my first thought is, like, well, who wants his money?
I mean, his wife, I guess. I assume his wife's gonna get it all.
Yeah, that she could have put, like, a hit out on him. But how hard is that to set up in prison? Probably pretty hard.
And she probably has access to all his money, even if he was in jail, or maybe minus whatever he made on the pump and dump scheme, but he had a whole fortune before then. So I don't think she has enough motive to be able to do all that. Like, that would be a lot.
That would be a lot. That's fair. Okay.
And I was talking to my brother about it because he was like, said the same thing you did. Like, what if it was another Jeffrey Epstein, right?
Of course he did.
But yeah. I'm like, but John McAfee, like, who would he have ratted out? Like, the only enemies he has in the United States are the McAfee people. And they're not going to do it. Like, the people who own McAfee antivirus now, like, they don't care what happens to him. Like, it's not like he has dirt on anyone. He's been living in Belize for the past forever. It's like he doesn't know anything about anyone important. He's a delinquent, you could say. A very, very rich delinquent.
A delinquent. Like, I always think about teenagers when I hear that word, and he is not a teenager.
He just, you know, fucks around, does drugs, murders people, and has a ton of money. And he went out, I think he wanted to control his story because he was very obsessed with, like, how he looked to the public. I think he wanted to control that story. He didn't want to end up, like, with the fate that the government put on him. He also was a libertarian. That's a very libertarian thing to do.
To kill yourself in jail?
Well, to just want to control your own story. Oh, so, right, yes. Right. Yeah. So not, like, wow, he doesn't want to leave his fate to the government.
Yeah. You know? I was about to say, like, that's a real specific death kink. Like, I'm libertarian, so that means I need to go out this way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, in a way, it is. They, you know, they're all about anti-government. You know, like uber conservative. So it makes sense.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Not necessarily a fun current event, but definitely relevant considering we covered his insane life story before.
Insane life. Yeah. If someone just tuned into this one episode, they're going to be like, why are these people talking about John McAfee right now?
I don't remember which episode it was that we brought him up, but I'll make sure it's linked in our episode description.
There you go. Yeah, I don't remember either.
Go back and hear me freak out on Jesse thinking that she made it up.
Yeah, he's a wild story. He had a wild life, and, you know, RIP.
Yep. Speaking of rich eccentrics, though, and not paranormal related, but I just want to throw this out there. Anyone else think that Jeff Bezos is a total butthole for spending his money to go to space?
I mean, I think we've known he was a total butthole.
Yeah, but like, he's especially a butthole.
Oh, he's a piece of shit.
Yeah.
We've been known.
Anyway, let's go to the deep dive because we're a paranormal podcast and we talk about paranormal stuff sometimes.
What's paranormal is how Jeff Bezos can live with himself being a complete piece of garbage.
I want that on a loop every time you text me. I agree. Okay, so today we are going to talk about a phenomenon, something that you feel.
Okay.
Something that you feel.
Something titillizing.
Not really. Deja vu. That's why I said it twice.
Oh, we're talking about deja vu. That's fun.
Yeah, I thought so. I was like, we haven't talked about like funky brain stuff in a long time. So.
Yeah. Ooh, let's talk about deja vu.
Yeah. Okay, well, before I get started, tell me what you know about it, or what you think you know about it.
You know, I feel like I researched this a while ago, just out of curiosity, and there is, I remember reading that there was, like, it's recognized by, like, psychiatrists, like, it's recognized by doctors, and it has something to do with your youth, and I can't see it was too long ago, but it's something to do with like how you were raised, and like an event in your childhood like can be triggered by like something really small, and it can cause that sensation.
We'll get to theories. We will.
Okay.
But I like that. But just an introduction to listeners, if somehow you've been living under a rock and you've never heard of deja vu, I feel like everybody ever has probably heard of deja vu.
Watch The Matrix.
Yeah, I was about to say. So it's that weird sudden feeling that you've experienced something before, like a place that you know you've never been, or you're meeting someone for the first time but not really, or maybe you had this exact conversation in the same place before but you know you didn't. Yeah. It's a glitch in the Matrix. You saw the black cat glitch twice
in the Matrix. Yeah.
Yeah. And what blew my mind is that between 60 and 80% of the population experience it.
Yeah, that makes sense. I know most people do. I don't get it very often. It's really rare
that
I will get deja vu.
When I do, though, it's enough to rattle my day.
Really?
If I notice it, nothing feels right until I go to sleep and, like, correct myself.
Really? That surprises me. Whenever I get it, I just kind of like, huh, deja vu, and then I forget about it immediately.
I get hung up on it because I'm, like, easily anxious and, like, paranoid. So, that'll do it. Hopefully, you listeners don't have it like I do. But you know what? Let's jump into the theories, because that's the fun part, right?
Right.
Number one, maybe you saw this location in a past life.
Oh, that's a fun theory.
Yeah. So maybe, like, if, for example, like the first time I ever went to New York City, I felt at home there to the point where I knew I should turn certain corners to get places when I would have no reason to know that.
Okay.
So maybe, like, past me in, I don't know, what year, let's say 1932 or something. Maybe I was some, like, businessman walking down, you know, try and think of a street name in New York. I'm so tired. I don't know. Times Square Street.
I don't know any.
Whatever. Madison Avenue. There we go. That's a street.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Maybe. Like, have
West,
you ever...
West End.
Yeah. Have you ever felt, like...
I only know that because I've been listening to the In the Heights soundtrack a lot.
Is that movie good? I've been meaning to watch
it. West End is your best friend if you catch the light. Oh, it's fantastic. It's really good. It made me cry like 5 times. Anyways, that has nothing to do with deja vu.
No. But I was going to ask, have you ever had a feeling like you could have had a past life?
No.
Like, you've never met somebody and you click so well and so immediately, it feels like you must have known each other for years.
Oh, Jack-Jack. My dog.
Oh.
That's facts, though. When I went to this, like, pet expo, and I had no intention of getting a dog. I was like, I just want to go, like, see the dogs on, like, the obstacle course. And... like, I saw him from across the way, like, sitting in his cage. And I swear, he was already staring at me. And he was, and then I was like, can I say hi to Jack-Jack? And they brought Jack-Jack down, and I petted him for a couple minutes. And then I was like, okay. And then I went and walked around for 20 minutes, just going like, I didn't think I wanted a dog. I didn't think I wanted a dog. But then I just, like, it was, like, automatic. I just went back, and I'm like, yeah, I'm going to adopt him.
I can't believe. There was ever a moment where you're like, I didn't think I wanted a dog, because you're like the dog mom.
Now I am.
But so weird.
He's, and we, like, immediately, it was almost like I didn't even have to train him or anything. Like, we didn't have to bond. Like, we already were bonded.
I believe that.
Yeah. I think we're, what is it called? Like a twin flame or, traveling souls, where, like, every time you get reincarnated, you're back with the same soul. I think Jack's my traveling soul.
That's great, but I'd imagine if anyone were to tell that story, it'd be like, myself and my lover were lovers in past lives. It's like, you're like, nope, it's me and my dog.
It is me and my, maybe me and Jack-Jack were lovers in a past life.
Ew.
I could see that.
Oh, like your souls. Yeah.
Our souls were. Maybe we were both human at one point. Maybe we were both dogs at one point.
Oh.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Maybe.
All right. Well, let's move to the next theory. The spiritual approach. Every time you notice your deja vu, you're increasing your ability to tap into your higher self or consciousness, a heightened state of cognizance to help you see life more clearly and help you make decisions and change or make the changes needed where you can unblock the obstacles in your path.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I could see that.
I personally don't feel that.
Like, you're
almost like you're
like, what? Like astral projecting to like that time is different. Like, you're feeling like you did this again because, like, you're, like, projecting your soul, like, forward or backward in time.
Yeah. No, and I like the theory, but personally, when I've experienced deja vu, it's not that.
No?
I don't think so. I don't think it's ever helped me do anything.
Oh.
No. But you think it's plausible?
No. I think that makes sense, because that kind of fits into the, like, theory we've talked about that a lot of things kind of fit into, where, like, you know, we're in our third dimensional human bodies, but our souls are part of, like, the fourth dimension or a higher dimension.
Right.
So it's almost like when you're astral projecting, you know, you're able to move your soul through the fourth dimension. I say fourth, but it could be any dimension, I guess.
The 18th dimension.
Maybe. I think there's 11 is what I've been told on the internet, but...
The 10th dimension. Maybe
it's the 10th dimension. Or like ghosts are disembodied souls, so they're existing on a different dimension. That's why they can only appear to us in like certain ways. If we're like in that kind of theory, then yeah, deja vu could just be a part of you that is traveling through time, like not in a linear sense. Like it's going in a weird different sense that... So then your third dimensional self, when you come back to it, it's almost like, I've done this before, but maybe your soul did it before because it traveled forward in time.
Huh. You have a way of making me believe stuff I wouldn't have otherwise.
I try to make everything like it to fit into like a logic. It's like, well, a world building project.
It works. Very obvious that you have been a DM in D&D.
Thank you.
Yeah. Now, this next theory, I buy it because my dreams get wild. Maybe you were there in a dream. Totally.
Sure.
I've definitely had dreams about places that are too specific for me to imagine that my subconscious just pieced that together from different things.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe
you were astral projecting.
Possibly. On those nights where I actually don't toss and turn in my sleep and I wake up in the same position and it's weird when I wake up.
Oh, that's weird. I don't know if I've ever done that.
I do that when I'm in air quotes, like super tired, but maybe it's that I'm actually astral projecting.
Maybe. Maybe you can only astral project when you're super tired.
I need to do more stuff. Experiment.
Do more stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I already do a lot of stuff, but do more physically exhausting stuff.
Yeah. So you can astral project more.
Yeah. And then we can talk about it. We'll have a spinoff podcast all about that. Okay. This one is really weird and cool. It's called split perception. And that's when you see something two different times. So, like, let's say it's a black cat walking by. The first time you see it, you might take it in out of the corner of your eye or while you're distracted. Mm-hmm. So you're seeing it, but you're not, like, focused on it. And because of that, your brain remembers it, but not as a memory is the way I want to put it.
You remember it, but not as a memory. It's like you remember it subconsciously.
Yeah. Yeah. There we go.
Okay.
I mean, I think that's plausible because, like, if I'm, like, at the coffee shop and I'm focusing on, like, looking at my phone to find what you want from Starbucks and, like, mm-hmm. some dog goes running by and I kind of see, like, a, you know, little... fluff go by, I may not have noticed what breed that dog was, but the next time I see it, it could feel familiar.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
I don't like that one.
All right.
That just seems, because I feel like you... Because for that to be true, you would still kind of have to see the thing twice, like in the exact same way, and... like, that theory may be true that you don't remember seeing it the first time, but, like, that dog would still have to run by twice. And I just think deja vu happens too frequently for that to happen, to be, like, true, right?
Yeah, well, it could be that that's not what causes deja vu every time. But, like, a portion of the times that it happens.
Sure.
Okay. This one, not fun, but definitely, small frontal lobe seizures.
Oh, no.
I said not fun.
I'm going to say no. That's going to be a no from me.
Like, you don't think that could possibly trigger that it's not just your brain having a freak out.
Can't you tell? Like, if I had an MRI or a brain scan, can't they tell if I've had a seizure?
That's a good question.
Because that
am
does,
not
like,
a doctor.
Brain damage. Seizures do brain damage if you have them frequently. And I don't think people that have deja vu have damaged brains.
Well, who says that, like, they're frequent seizures? Like, sometimes someone could have one and that's the only one they ever have.
But I think people that have deja vu have them often. Or I guess some people have it more often than other people.
Yeah. Okay, well, speaking of the brain being goofy, here's another theory. Brain malfunction where when your brain is absorbing information, it generally follows a specific path from short-term memory storage to long-term memory storage. The theory suggests that sometimes short-term memories can take a shortcut to long-term memory storage, and that can make you feel like you're retrieving, like, a past memory instead of something that just happened.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, so it's, like, relating it, because you lived in Waldorf for a while, so you'll understand what I'm talking about. There's 301, which is, like, the main highway, and you're trying to get to, like, Route 5, so you take, like, 925 to get there. Instead of taking, like, A to B to C, you just go A to C.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what a shortcut is.
Yeah.
That's a really roundabout way to describe what a shortcut is, but okay.
This is why we shouldn't record episodes when I'm tired.
I think most people, like, that's what a shortcut is, common knowledge.
Sorry, listeners. We do think you're smart enough to know what a shortcut is. Anyway.
I think that's crap. Because why would that happen, I guess? It's just like, why?
You just said,
like,
you liked
it. What triggers that to happen? But now that I've thought of it more.
Now that I explain it in a really stupid way, you're like, no, there's no fucking way.
No, that's dumb. It just doesn't, like, why? But still, what triggers that, I guess? Like, there's a lot of questions there that don't make this. It doesn't explain it fully.
Right.
All right.
Well, remember when I was bringing up the whole, like, you might take it out. You might see something out of the corner of your eye the first time. Mm-hmm. And then the second time, it seems new when it's not.
Yeah.
Well, that's under, like, memory reasons. And there's more, like, why would that possibly happen? And according to neuroscience, deja vu occurs when the frontal regions of the brain attempt to correct an inaccurate memory. So it's like fact-checking.
That also sounds like crap to me, because,
okay.
I mean, memory is bad. Memory is wrong most of the time. You don't remember things exactly as they happened. So I don't see that your brain would correct itself. Like,
I didn't say it was good at it.
It's been wrong so much. Like, if you're trying to correct yourself, like, do a better job, or just don't. Like,
yeah. I mean, even just think about it in the true crime sense of it, when you have, like, 10 witnesses to a crime and they all saw the same thing happen, but their stories might be completely different because they're remembering it different.
Yeah, and they're so easily influenced by anything anyone says that.
Yeah. No, yeah. No, so like if they saw this guy take this old lady's purse, they all saw the same guy in real life. But if they're looking at a lineup in the jail, they might pick different dudes because they just don't remember him the same.
Yeah, and it's very influenced. Like, if so, the guy that stole the purse was like wearing a brown jacket, but later that day, someone saw a guy in a red jacket. They might say that the guy was wearing a red jacket because memory is just so fucked. It's like a jumble. Mm-hmm. It's just like it's like when you file away memories in your head, it's like you're filing away puzzle, like a loose bag of puzzle pieces, and when you try to put them back together, they're rarely in the right like place.
And I am so bad at puzzles.
I'm so bad at memory, so
same. Well, why do you think, well, listeners, not that you know, but behind the scenes in this podcast, we keep everything logged in like Google Docs and spreadsheets and stuff.
We have to
because our show would fall apart. Memory is an awful thing.
It's pretty bad.
We're bad at having our lives together. We try.
Yeah. But that's, I don't think, that's kind of like all the theories about deja vu being just a part of your memory doesn't make any sense to me, because it's like our memory's already fucked up and deja vu is more of a feeling.
What did you just
than
call
like
it?
A memory? Deja vu?
Deja vu.
You can pronounce it both ways. I've Googled before.
Oh, okay.
Deja vu or deja vu?
Oh,
yeah.
Well, you're teaching me something new. That's good. I was like,
I usually say it the way, if someone says it to me, I'll say it the same way they said it.
Okay, because I thought you were purposefully saying it weird to fuck with me.
Deja vu.
Yeah.
Deja vu.
Mm-hmm.
Deja. I don't know. Deja vu. But memory's already so fucked, so I just feel like it can't be. Because I haven't had deja vu in years. I can't remember the last time I felt it. So. And my memory's not good. So if it had something to do with how we file away memories, I would have it so much more often, you know?
Yeah.
So that doesn't make sense to me.
Well, there's a couple
illogical.
More. Huh?
Illogical.
Well, there's a couple more theories in there. Still in the memory camp. Sorry, Jesse. But much like a word can be on the tip of your tongue, a memory can be on the tip of your mind. It's there, but it's not accessible in the way that you would expect it to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's this lady. Her name is Ann Cleary, and she is a cognitive psychologist at Colorado State University. She investigated this through research.
Smart.
She demonstrated that the feelings of premonition that accompany the phenomenon are just feelings. A person experiencing deja vu is no more likely to accurately predict what they're going to see around the corner than someone who is blindly guessing.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. That's kind of what I was saying, is it's less of a memory thing, it's more of a feeling.
Yeah. And then she goes on to say that her working hypothesis is that deja vu is a particular manifestation of familiarity. You have familiarity in a situation when you feel you shouldn't have it, and that's why it's so jarring to people.
Yes.
Yeah. So.
I agree with her.
Yep. Oh, and this test.
She didn't answer why it happens, though. But I, yes.
Yeah, sure. Okay, so this test. I've been excited to talk to you about this. Out of everything I have written down, I thought you would appreciate it. Because we're going to talk about The Sims.
The game?
Yeah. There's a test of 298 people, and the research team built environments in The Sims, and they were layouts that were like spatially the same, but the themes were different. So let's say you're looking at two maps. One is like grass, like a backyard. The other is a desert. There are going to be things in the way in the same spots. They just look different.
Okay.
Right? So The participants of the study were tasked with watching videos that showed a first-person walkthrough of a series of scenes. Each opened with a female voice stating, then repeating the name of the scene. So like, desert. And then they were shown a series of test videos that were cosmetically different from the study videos, but half of them were laid out exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
And at a critical point, the participants were stopped and asked if they were experiencing deja vu and if they knew what the next turn should be.
Mm-hmm.
Half of the participants reported feeling premonition along with deja vu, but they were no more likely to get the correct answer over the participants that randomly chose.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yep. Using The Sims for science. Okay, so we're done with theories. And which one do you buy the most?
Astral projection.
Right on.
Yeah.
The past life or the dream life are probably the ones I'm into the most.
Yeah, I think it's probably a little of both.
Yeah.
A little both there.
Totally. Well, now we're going to talk about what makes someone more likely to experience it.
Oh, okay.
What do you think?
Probably, I mean, I would assume as someone who's like more in touch with their brain, like someone who meditates or like tries to astral project or, you know, witchy people.
Okay. Well, what I found is when you're fatigued, tired, or stressed, your internal I probably didn't spell that correctly. Internal neuronal systems haven't had the chance to recoup and regulate.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So that's a possibility. Again, the temporal lobe epilepsy, the theory you totally do not buy.
You have seizures?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crap.
Dopamine or taking drugs that boost your dopamine. Like, for example, this one guy in Finland took a mixture of flu meds that are known to be particularly receptive to certain dopamine neurons, so he had deja vu that would not stop.
Oh, that's gotta be weird.
Yeah. And he kept doing it for a while just to experience it, but he eventually stopped. See. It stopped when he stopped taking the meds.
I want to try that.
Yeah? You need me to look further into it? What drugs did he take? Hey, Mr.
Oh, I probably shouldn't do that.
Mr. Guy in Finland, if you're listening to this podcast, you should drop us an email so Jesse can figure out what drugs she has to get shipped over here.
I want to recreate your study.
Yeah, I'd be too scared. Uh-uh.
I probably wouldn't do it.
Oh.
What if you get addicted to the sense of the deja vu?
Maybe.
That'd be cool.
What a weird thing to be addicted to.
Yeah.
Oh, well, this, what I'm about to say next brings back to when I asked you, what do you know about deja vu? When you're young, you're more likely.
That makes sense. Also, children are more likely to see ghosts, so that can't be a coincidence.
I agree. As you get older, you become less able to notice errors. Good to know.
Yeah. I mean, I do feel like I used to get it a lot more when I was younger. Like, as a kid and like a teenager.
Yeah.
I got it way more frequently than I do now.
Oh, yeah. However, and this is an exception to that rule, sometimes folks that have dementia, like the elderly, that could be a sign that their condition is worsening if they're getting deja vu a lot.
Oh. Oh.
Right? So, hey, you might have something to look forward to in a few decades.
When I get dementia?
Yeah. Oh, and here's something. Have you ever heard of, and again, I'm sorry if I'm not pronouncing this correctly, but jamais vu?
Oh, jamais vu.
Yeah. Jamais vu.
Jamais vu. It's French. That's the only reason I know how to pronounce that, but... yes, but no, tell me about it. I can't remember.
It is the opposite of deja vu. It basically means failing to recognize a situation that logically should be familiar to you.
That sounds like me on a daily basis.
Jamais vu.
Because I don't remember anything. You.
Usually,
that could be weird, though. Like, what if, like, you don't, you, like, for a minute, you, like, are talking to someone you've known for a long time, and then suddenly you're like, wait, I don't know this person.
That does happen to me a lot, actually.
That's creepy.
Well, in a way that it's like, well, I introduced you to, no, I don't think you did. It's like, no, I remember, we met at the blah, 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 and I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no. Right. Yep.
Lies.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I do that a lot.
Yeah, it's usually associated with amnesia.
Yeah.
It's not standard forgetting. It's a disorienting feeling that you don't recognize something. I can't imagine that, because I've had it happen to me, but I didn't think that's what it was. I just thought, well, my memory is really shitty.
No, okay, I kind of get it. So there is a distinction between just forgetting and jamais vu. I've known, there's been like some, a couple times, maybe not a couple, once or twice, where it's usually when I'm really tired, like you, like I go to type something and I just don't know how to anymore.
Yeah,
like I look at the keyboard and I'm like, it is a weird sensation. It's not like just forgetting. It's almost like I've lost all memory of how to use a keyboard.
No, that's a really good example.
And it only
lasts
like 30 seconds, and I usually like stare at my hands, and I'm like,
"What are
these?" And then it comes back, and I'm like, "Oh, this is how you do that."
No, that's a good example. The other one I found, which I thought was interesting, and I have had this happen, and I don't know why. When you repeat a word so often that you start to doubt if the word is spelled correctly or even a real word.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. So like if you say the word like orange over and over again, eventually it's going to sound like
nonsense. It doesn't sound like a real word.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is a good example.
Yep. And it might be a little short, but that's all I have. There's not a lot of deja vu research out there in the world.
Deja vu.
Yeah. So if you have any of your own deja vu stories or jamais vu, right? Did I get that right? Yeah. Jamais vu. Either way, let us know. Send us emails.
Yeah.
We want to know.
There's a lot of those kinds of stories on Reddit. r/glitchinthematrix.
I knew I should have consulted
Reddit. A lot of
stories
kind of like that. Yeah. They're all, I mean, I was reading one today where someone, I can't remember it exactly, but they like took a syringe to like fill up some liquid and like put it in another thing, and they filled it up and then they squirted it in the thing and then they went to do it again, but there was nothing in the thing.
Ugh.
Like, yeah, there's a lot of those like creepy stories, which they're not like scary, but they're so unsettling to like think about.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Well, is it time for Shitty Cryptid?
Yes. Now it's time for Shitty Cryptid.
We have this thing called the Shitty Cryptid Generator, where it's basically Mad Libs, and it's going to spit out a few things. One of us, or a guest, will have to create some kind of weird origin story of this thing.
It's fun for everyone, and you'll hear it right after a word from our sister podcasts.
Hey there, fellow true crime aficionados. We are the host of Bad Acts Podcast. I'm Danielle.
And I'm Aaron.
Join us every Thursday for twisted true crime tales, bad deeds, and the supernatural. We've covered family annihilators, cold-blooded baby daddies, cannibals, and even people who blame zombies, ghosts, and voodoo for their bad acts.
Bad acts.
If you like fresh stories and new perspectives on crime, Bad Acts will be your new jam. Stay safe out there, you big baddies, and bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, so welcome to the Shitty Cryptid segment, and we have some special guests. Introduce yourselves.
Well, I don't know how special we are, but we're Eric and Dylan from File Under Entertainment Podcast with Dylan and Eric.
I'm Dylan.
And I'm Eric.
Yeah, I'm personally a big fan of their show, and I had a lot of fun guesting with them, so I'm happy that we can have them on our show.
Oh, thank you so much. We had so much fun having you on as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I guess we should get to it, and you are briefed on what Shitty Cryptid is, so you know what to expect.
Yeah, definitely looking forward to this.
Okay.
You said it's a good one without
it's
giving
a, it's
hints.
A good one. It's a good one. Okay. So tell our audience about the wild furry cheese of Waffle House.
The wild furry cheese of Waffle House?
I think yeah. I heard about that on NPR.
Yeah, did you?
Yeah.
Was it discovered by Erica? Because we learned in the last episode that you are a huge fan of Waffle House and you would want your ashes buried there. So...
Yeah, you could. That's a good throwback. Throw that in there.
What was it? The
wild
it was
furry cheese.
Furry.
Furry specifically.
Furry?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Wild furry cheese.
Where did the furriness come in? Waffle House.
That's the mystery.
Okay.
Maybe it was a guy with a hook hand was there and he had horrendous pubes, like tropical rainforest levels. And that's the furry. That's where the furry comes
from. Oh my god.
Or we're talking about like a somebody who dresses up like an animal.
Okay. Yeah.
We got furries there. That's the furry Waffle House.
You're saying that's the that's the specific Waffle House where all the furries meet up have their like rendezvous?
They converge there, yeah.
But that's not necessarily that would like be the location. This is supposed to be like the cryptid that
it's
you know, kind of haunts
the waffle,
that location.
It consumes every furry that you walk in a normal person,
okay, and then you
you become abnormal and become a furry.
That's what the cheese does,
just by virtue of going into the Waffle House. I think he's saying that you become deranged. So okay, we had let's go with the hook hand guy. You said there's a guy that comes in there.
He's
got
spatula hand.
He has a spatula hand. I thought he had a hook.
It was misremembered that.
Okay, so he has a spatula hand, and yeah, I guess he's working as like a line cook right at the Waffle House, and he's there like flipping grilled cheese. Mm-hmm. And
he's the only one there. He's all they can afford. So one night, there was this horrific mechanical failure with one of the fryolators, and he was trying to fix it himself, and he actually got covered completely in the scalding oil.
That's rough. Yeah, you should never do anything like that on your own.
Yeah,
well, that sounds.
Teach you in those training videos.
Yeah, I mean, that's very Waffle House, though. I feel like that could happen.
So, okay, so now he's completely scalded, right?
Yes.
All right.
He is not furry anymore.
So where does the cheese come into play? So, like, some of his...
His skin is so messed up from the oil that it actually extrudes cheese from its burnt pores.
Okay.
Ew.
So, is the cheese sentient?
No. What, okay. They bring up the cheese because you always know he's coming before you see him
smell
because
the burnt cheese.
You smell the cheese.
Ooh, and it's probably that like burnt hair and...
Yeah.
Because
remember, he
smell?
Was notoriously hairy.
Yes, he was. Okay,
yeah.
So let's double back all the way to when... How did he have... the spatula hand in the first place? Like, how did that come about?
He was playing on the jungle gym when he was 5 years old.
Okay, very specific.
And a bird flew over his head.
Okay, I like where you're going
bird,
with this.
But he moved his head up too quick, so he got lightheaded.
Okay.
And he fell from the jungle gym, and his hand got caught in one of the bars.
Ooh.
And it broke so bad that they had to cut it off.
Ooh, so like a compound fracture thing, and then they removed it. So what did he have there from age 5 until said time that he becomes like the fryolator line cook?
All the family could afford was the spatula model of the...
So he just had the spatula just perpetually on.
Yes.
It's tough being poor.
So from 5 years old until...
Yes, he was destined to be a fry cook.
How old was he when he started working at Waffle House?
11.
Oh my god. I feel like you've put some SpongeBob mythos in here, kind of.
Yeah.
And it's great.
Yes, I did. Yeah. I think I am entirely plagiarizing that one episode.
Yeah. That was good.
I don't remember him getting horribly disfigured by oil, though.
Or being like so beyond recognizable hairy that this grease fire is going to do him in. Yeah. Okay. So, now.
Yeah. Yeah. Go for it. I want to know where this is going.
So he's an 11-year-old fry cook.
Yeah.
That also befalls another mechanical failure that gets all the grease all over him. Mm-hmm. And so now he smells constantly of burning flesh and cheese.
And you know, right before he got burnt, he won Employee of the Month. You know what month that was? I'll have to look up which ones there are again.
Yeah, so that's we told you last time, but to fill your listeners in, Dylan is horrendous with knowing what order the months are in, and he also is not very good with geography. So if you like, where is this Waffle House located?
San Jose.
Okay, I don't know if they have Waffle Houses in San Jose, but
is that in California?
Yes. But Dylan didn't know that.
No, I
that's
didn't.
Okay. No, Waffle Houses are generally like the South on like the East Coast. So like, technically Maryland, I think, has one. It's like Maryland down.
Okay.
And like over toward like Alabama and like Mississippi and stuff.
Yeah, I lived in Florida for a while, and so they have Waffle Houses.
But it's fiction, so in this world where there's an 11-year-old fry cook with a spatula hand, there could totally be a Waffle House in San Jose. I buy it.
Well, one knows who built it, though. Maybe they never. They never contracted that for the building.
It just appeared.
It just appeared.
Well, maybe that's the reason they no longer have them in California. Is like they had this one location
there's
in San
that
Jose
attached to it,
and because we never said what year this takes place, right? It's just this 11-year-old fry cook that worked at the San Jose Waffle House.
I'm picturing like the early 50s.
Okay, that I don't know.
They're selling like milkshakes and stuff too.
Yeah, well, but he was the only one there, right? He was the only employee.
He was very. Do you know what month he got Employee of the Month? All of them.
Well, when you're the only employee, it's kind of easy to do that, I think.
So he's like, he's the manager, he takes your order, he cooks your food, and then he's the one that rings you up the register, too. Yep.
Somehow still not the manager, though. I don't understand that. Like, the only employee there, and yet he's still not the manager. Like, he still has to, he gets to just run outside and call out into the breeze, like, what do I do in this situation? And he has to wait for something to, you know, waft back the answer. And then that's where he kind of goes with. But everyone is so scared of him now after the accident that I think they boarded up this one San Jose location of Waffle House and, it, you know, never to be. They said, we have to go all the way to the other side of the country to just, you know, get ourselves, remove ourselves from this situation.
Yeah. So, but by the way, you were spot on with the 50s because the first Waffle House was founded in 1955.
There we go. That's awesome. That's
okay.
Great.
Well, I have a question though. So like the wild furry cheese. So what's it like if you like encounter, because I realize that's a small chunk in the big picture of this fry cook. What's the fry cook like? Like if I am to go to Waffle House for a meal, is he nice? Is he rude? Is he like constantly crying in pain?
So here's the thing that happened. So he got horribly disfigured, so he wasn't able to work with the public anymore, and then it got so bad that when there were other people working with him, they couldn't stand to be around him, so eventually they let him go. So his life started spiraling,
okay,
and he started getting this resentment towards people,
as one does.
Okay.
So was there like a massacre or something then that happened, or?
No, I think he works at Staples now.
wait. Does he still have the spatula?
He does. Yeah, he does.
What does he use that for at Staples?
Usually itching his back.
Okay. Because I was thinking maybe that's like a really good utensil to have if you're literally prying staples out of paper.
Yeah.
Or sorting loose leaf paper. It just pushes it along with it.
Right.
Yeah. Well, for some reason, I'm imagining it's his left hand. For
it,
some reason.
It was. Yeah, okay, it was. That's what I remember it.
That's the what you remember. Because this is a factual account that we ran across. We didn't just make this up whole cloth, Erica. No, we saw this in a... Oh, Dylan said he heard it on NPR, so this is well documented.
Yeah.
I remember that.
And you remember what his pet was, right?
I want to say a Komodo dragon.
It was a naked mole rat.
Close.
That checks out, yeah. That's familiar. Thanks. That was actually really fun.
Oh my god.
Handing this to terrible. You, I'm like, this is either going to be brilliant or a disaster, and it was brilliant. So
a brilliant disaster?
Oh, I was just going to say brilliant, but kudos. Thank you.
All right. Absolutely.
But before we get off here, I want you to tell the people about your show. Like, if you're to talk about File Under Entertainment, what is it?
Okay, so we are...
It's a platform for Eric to get on a soapbox.
Oh my god. We're brothers and besties, and we are going through... our first season is covering movies, and we're going A to Z. Each episode is a different letter of the alphabet, where we each choose a movie that we want to discuss with the other, and we both watch them and talk about it. And the episode that you were on was Why, and you chose Yoga Hosers, and I chose You're Next, and Dylan chose You've Got Mail. And we discussed them, and we are wrapping up with our Z, and we've got some other fun episodes, including bringing you guys back on.
Yeah.
For a very special episode. And then our second season is going to be covering music. And we're
and
still
I'm
be
very much
some...
there for that.
Yeah, you're not the only one that said that. I think Dylan's pretty hesitant about it, though. I don't know. He thinks that we don't have enough to really warrant a full season. So, but we're going to stick with some movie stuff as well, too. I think we're going to do some
side
interstitials
splitters.
Or some Summons, bonus yeah. episodes of where we stick with movie stuff. So.
Sweet.
Did I cover all the bases with the show? Is there anything else?
Sometimes we're funny.
Yeah.
You're funny a lot.
Not often. Oh, well, thank you. That's
I think you're
kind.
Funny a lot. Like, you guys understand, you hit my funny bone in, like, a really good way. Like, I also have a very weird sense of humor, so maybe that's why. But your show is great, and I'll tell anybody in the world to listen to it, so...
Thank you so much.
That
well,
is
we, a... We've determined that we're alternate universe each other's because...
And I think that's it. Yeah.
We talk about poop a lot. So any fans of your guys' show will probably fit right in. It's very scatological over on
file. You heard it from the source. Totally. But yeah, guys, thanks again. And if you're looking for their show, we'll have it in the episode description. So click away, subscribe, and check out all... I guess at the time this will come out, probably 26 episodes of your show.
Yeah, there's some bonus episodes in the feed already from like my previous show, What Went Wrong. And so just when we had, I don't know, downturns or whatever, I threw some in there. So yeah, there's probably 30 episodes in there. So quite a lot. I think there's something for everybody. Yeah, we go A to Z. So there's got to be a movie in there that someone's heard of or at some point.
Perfect. Do you have, well, I know you do Twitter, and we'll put the Twitter handle there too, so everybody can follow you there. And
you.
While you're at it, you should be following the Paranerds Instagram and Twitter, because we have that. And send us fan mail if you like these guys. Let us know how much you love them by emailing us at paranerdspodcast@gmail.com. And I guess we'll talk to you next week. Bye. Paranerds has been brought to you by Podmoth.